Here in 2 Kings 25, you read about the tragic fall of Jerusalem, and it was all the more tragic because it was so avoidable. Some of the Jews had already gone into captivity, and Ezekiel was their prophet in captivity. And this description here of encamping against Jerusalem and building forts against it round about, this is exactly what Ezekiel had portrayed on the tile in his acted parable in Ezekiel 4. He built those forts like a sort of a model and said, this is what's going to happen. But if you, exiles in Babylon, repent, then this need not happen. They didn't repent. So the tragedy is that it was all avoidable. You could say, but well, didn't God foreknow it? Well, in one sense, yes. But he also, although he foreknows, he in a sense limits that omniscience because he interacts with us in real time, I mean our time anyway. And he genuinely respects human free will. Likewise, there's a lot of hints really in Jeremiah's words to Zedekiah that if Zedekiah had repented, this wouldn't have happened. So there were a number of options here which could have meant a different outcome. So God is not far away. He is not disinterested. He's not just allowing natural forces to take their course. He sets up all sorts of potentials. Zedekiah's impenitence might have been cancelled out, as it were, by the repentance of the exiles with Ezekiel when they saw his acted parable, building these forts against Jerusalem in a little model and appealing for their repentance. And likewise, if the wealthy rulers of Jerusalem at the time had really let their slaves go free and not then re-enslaved them, when the threat of Babylon appeared temporarily to be lifted, then again, that also could have saved the day. You see how complex are God's workings, and there are probably all sorts of other potential factors there. In Hosea 11 verse 9, God says in the passion of his relationship with Israel that was manifest through the relationship of Gomer and Hosea, the prostitute and the prophet, with Hosea representing God, he says, Hosea 11 verse 9, I will not enter into the city. But the king of Babylon here enters the city, and so the city was captured. You see then how God has passion. Just as Hosea had for Gomer, one minute he says he's going to have her stoned to death because she's an adulteress and she's a prostitute and she's going to be burnt with fire. And then he says, but I will love you freely. And yet he also says, I will love you no more. And God himself says, my repentings, my changes of mind are kindled together. And so I will not enter into the city, and yet I will enter into the city. Again in Hosea, they shall not go back to Egypt. Another place, they will go to Egypt. This is God, God Almighty, with all the unashamed manifestation to us, revelation to us, of his deep inner passions. The point is, he has passion for us. And as he sees us in our weakness, at least trying to love him and serve him, I believe that does likewise kindle his passion. Now, Zedekiah then, a lot did depend upon him, and yet he becomes a representative of us, because we read here in 2 Kings 25 about his flight from Jerusalem towards Jericho, and then he's captured on the way. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, who gets attacked, just as happened to Zedekiah. And yet, Jesus is saying in the parable, you are the injured man. Zedekiah represents every one of us, because Jesus there is the Good Samaritan, as the Jews called him. Don't we say well that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? Anyway, Zedekiah fled. He was overtaken. He wept, according to Ezekiel 7, predicting this about him. Jeremiah 52, judgment was given upon him. Again, Jeremiah 52, he was punished in the presence of the king. He was cast into prison. All these are pictures of the judgment of the last day. But I suggest that actually he had his condemnation now, and he realized that and repented. Why I say that is because Jeremiah 21 and Jeremiah 27 are both prophesied that Zedekiah would be slain by the sword of Nebuchadnezzar when Jerusalem fell, but that didn't happen. He died in captivity. So I suggest that he did repent. Jeremiah 21:7 says that Nebuchadnezzar would not show him pity nor mercy, would not spare him. But actually, although all his cabinet were killed, as were his children, he wasn't. He was blinded, but he was not slain. And then Jeremiah 34:5 seems to say that Zedekiah would die in peace. Well, I assume that must mean peace with God. So this man was condemned. Just like Peter was, he went outside and wept and gnashed his teeth in the darkness when he betrayed Jesus, effectively. But he was saved ultimately. And this is how it should be in our recognition of sin, that we realize that we deserve condemnation, but, this is the great argument of Romans 1-8, but although we are condemned in the court before God, we are also saved. Our judge turns around and ends up as our advocate, and he gloriously saves us, and we are saved from wrath through him. But you only get there through recognizing that I should be condemned. And if we have not mourned for our sins to that extent, well, then we will not live in awe of that wonderful grace that's shown to us and offered to us.